Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez. A great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies may have inspired it. But we're not going to be doing that today. Today is another special episode of Piecing It Together that is actually going to be a repost of an episode of my other podcast, Bird Road. So episode 33 of Bird Road is called What's the Frequency, Carillon? And what we did on this episode was we interviewed Christian Ponce, the creator and director of a web series called, I'm not going to try to speak the Argentinian version, but it's Ghost Radio is the English version of the title. And it's a really cool web series. It's kind of like a mix between John Carpenter and the X-Files and Frank Miller and a lot of other really cool influences in there. And it was a really great interview that we did with them, and the whole episode, we ended up kind of taking a break from our usual talk of politics and just how awful everything is in the world, and we instead talked about movies the whole time. We talked with him about movies and about his show, and then we also talk about the best movies of 2018 so far at the halfway point of the year, which hopefully you read my blog post with my ranking of all the movies of 2018, which you can find on piecingpod.com if you haven't seen it yet. But anyway, I thought this would be a cool thing to do this week, since Bird Road was like a pretty much all movies episode. So this way you get to hear me talk about movies in another point of view and another format. So, and also you should be listening to Bird Road if you're not. Bird Road is the other show. Well, actually, we have a few shows here on the All Points West Network. We also have Entre Dos and Breaking Through, but Bird Road is the other show that I'm on. So if you're not listening to it, you should be. It's a really fun show, even when we're talking about the most awful things happening in the world right now in the news. As usual, I'd like to remind you all to please make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on whatever your podcast app of choice is. Also, you can go rate and review us on iTunes. Make sure you're following Piecing Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group, Piecing It Together, a movie discussion group. And with that said, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Bird Road. We'll be back next week with a new episode of Piecing It Together, probably two new episodes of Piecing It Together. But we'll see how that goes. I'm hoping we can make that work. But anyway, enjoy this episode of Bird Road, and we'll be back next week.
The cat is still, like, not free to roam the house. Like, you guys are very controlling.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding?
That's very weird. Like, it's a cat. It's fine. You could put it in a jungle. It would be fine.
I forget who her mother is.
What does she think is going to happen? Like, that it's, like, it's someone should die?
She thinks it's going to jump right off the upstairs and die.
I mean,
or it's going to
eat. I got to say, if it does that,
it's going to eat hair ties and strangle to death.
If it does that, that's kind of natural selection. Because it's a really stupid cat that would do that. All right, I'm Q.
And I'm Jewish Dave.
This is Bird Road.
This is Bird Road.
Should I say something from now on, Dave? Like, your only progressive political and cultural podcast from purple states. Should I tell people what we are?
Are we the only?
We are for sure. I checked.
Purple political parakeet.
I'm the dad here, but that was such a dad joke. Okay, so I don't know if we'll keep any of that in.
Good. But... You want to redo the intro? And
no, just... it's okay. I'm Q.
And I'm Jewish Dave.
And this is Bird Road.
This is Bird Road, purple
the
stuff.
Purple parakeet. The purple the purple show. The show about purple things.
Purples.
This is purple. Hi.
Purple nurples.
You got anything to eat? I'm purple. Rate, review, subscribe. Dave, why don't you tell people what else that they can do? Not, we're not on Facebook. Don't use Facebook.
Don't do that.
We decided to. You won the argument from last week. I decided to keep our Facebook up, but to just not, to just disregard it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it could, what could become of it. Maybe it'll become like one of these like hate forums where people go and.
But if it like, develops a mind of its own, starts posting things. It becomes
sentient. I'm not going back on the Facebook page. If you guys go and you decide you want to start liking that page, fuck you. I don't want you. I don't want your likes.
What about Twitter? What about Twitter? Should they like? Should they follow us on Twitter?
Just come see me. Come see at David_Quinones on Twitter. My Twitter account is pretty good.
What about you, mine?
Yours is just some weird automated like friend Favstar thing from
That's
like
not true.
I earned this many friends this week.
I don't know how to turn that off. That is something from like 6 years ago, and it happens once a week. So ignore that. I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know the name of the app. So.
Yeah, so at by David Rosen. I don't know. Is that even your Twitter name? What is your Twitter name?
At by David Rosen.
What's happening on Piecing It Together this week, Dave? Because the All Points West Network, again, multiple fun podcasts that you can listen to. Go in descending order of reverse quality. Piecing It Together.
The shitty show on the show's network is... Piecing It Together, and what episode?
I think it's fair to say that this is the shitty show on the network. I think, like, you put in a solid five times as many hours of work into this into that show, Piecing It Together, than versus this show. And that's fine. I guess it's your vehicle. What's happening this week?
We just did a episode on Sicario.
Purge, Day of the Purge, Soldatio. Purge 3. Oh my God, the only worse movie out there than Purge.
Yeah, I would watch Sicario Day of the Soldado a second time over watching the Purge, but it was not very good. But we do talk
this
about
this was woke it. Purge. I heard that this Purge is like woke.
Oh no. I don't know. Maybe. I can't imagine the Purge being woke, period. The Purge is just ridiculous. I want nothing to do with it.
You're crazy, though. The concept is awesome. I love the concept.
It's terrible.
The concept is fucking great.
The concept of the Purge, if you like the idea of the movies, the Purge, there's no reason to not like Suicide Squad. It's the same fucking thing.
No, the characters are terrible in Suicide Squad. The writing is horrible.
Isn't it badass that these people are badass and they were skull masks and wait, like it's.
Do you think that that's what the interesting part of the Purge is, that people are dressed up weird and funny?
Yeah, and they kill each other and oh, it's so crazy, you know.
The thing that's interesting about the Purge is the social dynamic of it.
Oh,
and the power differential between the people who can insulate themselves from that kind of annual versus the people who are
it looks so lame. So lame. Agreed. I've managed to avoid all of them. What is this, the fifth one?
It's the third one. Fourth one, maybe, I think.
Fourth one?
It's the fourth one, yeah.
I've managed to avoid them all, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Great way to... Purge 4, the first Purge. That's brilliant. So you can email us. I don't think I've mentioned this much lately. You can email us at birdroad@allpointswest.net. Jewish Dave will be reading all of them and replying promptly.
If anyone out there knows the password, please let me know.
Check out Entre Dos podcast. That's also, you know, on our network. So also this week, I wanted to announce, it was technically last week that this happened, but we have our first non-outside of our own universe podcast, which is, I ended up cutting, I think I mentioned this last week, but I ended up cutting for time the portion where I mentioned it. Breaking Through is a podcast by the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation that we are producing. And it's great. It's a really good, interesting show that focuses on people who are part of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation's Tomorrow's Leaders program and, you know, their stories. A lot of it has to do with professional development and you can do it type stuff. And check it out. Good narrative storytelling podcast brought to you by All Points West. We're going to take a little bit of a break from the immediate news cycles, which actually kind of slowed down. Did you notice like things kind of slowed down a little bit at the end of the week, right?
Yeah, I mean, the big story seems to be Trump's Elton John rant. that's like the only thing happening in world politics.
Yeah, that and, of course, North Korea. It turned out to be just a complete sham. And we always knew that that was just going to be straight up bullshit. I wanted to follow up on something from last week. I asked like about 8 more people at work. None of them have seen their cell phone in their sleep, in their dreams. Not well, one of them.
Actually, that is funny you bring that up. Last night, I had a dream with a cell phone, but it was face down on a table.
It's like it's playing with you now.
Yeah, I think I've been thinking about this too much, and it's like starting to fuck with me.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on. all right, so look. The news is terrible, so we're gonna switch it up. You know, we retain our right to do whatever we want on this show. We're gonna have an interview with somebody who creates a little slice of culture that's a world away from where we live, and we're gonna transition to that right now. But after that, we're gonna come back and talk about. Dave's gonna lead us through a discussion of some of the best movies of the first half of the year, and I'll try to derail him as best as I can. And
I'm sure you will.
Okay, we're giving you all a break from the horror show of national news and politics and bringing you something a little bit different today. This is our podcast, so we get to use it to talk about whatever we want and the stuff that we're interested in. And our next guest is the creator of something that we're very interested in. It's the creator and the director of a series of online animated shorts called Frecuencia Killian, a very moody sort of animated short series that is very enveloping and very engrossing if you find it over there on YouTube or Vimeo. His name is Christian Ponce, and you can find his work on, like I said, Vimeo, YouTube, and online at tangramcine.com. Christian, welcome.
Hola. Bueno, muchas gracias por la invitación.
So tell us about this fictional town, Killian, the world that it exists in. What is Killian?
Killian es mi propia
Killian is my own city, the city where I grew up. Carmen de Patagones. But obviously full of monsters and strange things. So really it's a mix between that city and Erie, Indiana, for example, or other classic cities of cinema and television.
Del cine y la televisión.
I assume that the town has a name that's influenced by the type of photography, paranormal photography called Killian photography. Have you ever heard of that?
Sí, claro. La idea.
Yes, of course. The idea was that just like Killian photography can photograph the soul, this frequency could put the voice of the dead on the air and open the way for other creatures of the night, paranormal creatures to be heard by mortals.
Criaturas de la noche o de lo paranormal pudieran ser escuchadas por los mortales.
Yeah, and if you ever look at that kind of photography, you'll see it has that vibe, that aesthetic to it, the auras, very deep black, purples, grays, silhouettes.
Conozco la fotografía principalmente por los expedientes X.
I knew of the photography mainly because of the X-Files. In the show's intro, they had this hand in which you can see the characteristic points of Kirlian photography. And a little bit of the idea came from that. I also researched a bit further and looked up the electrician who created the process, and I just liked the name.
So where does this kind of folklore come from for you? Is it an existing world from Argentina, or is there anything North American that influenced you in building out this world?
Actually, it's a mixture of things. In Argentina, there are many folklores, and there are native monsters. But more than anything, what I wanted to do is grab the classic monsters of cinema or television and give it a spin. For example, in the first episode, we have a werewolf, we have vampires, which from the beginning appear as more classical characterizations. The vampires in the second episode are kind of like the Lost Boys by Joel Schumacher, but with a twist. I don't base the show so much on the local folklore. More than anything, I look into pop culture, and you can see those references in the series.
Más que nada en la cultura pop y lo que se ve, digamos, en los referentes que tiene la serie.
Yeah, the second episode really does have an incredible twist, and anybody who grew up seeing the movie The Lost Boys, as you mentioned, will recognize the direction that it's going, and then it really takes a hard left turn on you, and that's in episode 2. I really suggest I can't recommend it enough. That's a great episode. Dave, I think you have a question, right?
Yeah, I thought that one of the most distinctive characteristics of the show was the soundscapes and the way that you use sound design and music to achieve really a distinctive world. If you could talk a little bit about that and how you came to that kind of a style of music and sound.
La policía local informa a la población que aún no se ha logrado dar caza al animal salvaje que está sembrando el terror en la ciudad.
The sound is incredible. Let me say really quickly for our listeners, listen to this show with headphones on in the dark, because that's the best way. That's the best way to watch this show. The sound is incredible.
En realidad, bueno, la idea siempre fue
que esto fuera una especie de found footage, sort of sonorous footage, with an animation built atop of it showing what could or could not have happened. There are sounds and things that are heard, and the animation shows you something, but it is not definitive. It's ambiguous.
La animación te muestra algo, pero que no es definitivo. Es medio ambiguo.
And the idea was also that the sound was broken. It sounded a little bad.
Que se escuchara un poco mal.
My main inspiration for this was the famous audio of Coast to Coast with the supposed employee of Area 51.
El supuesto empleado del Área 51 tiene esta...
The idea is that the spectator has to listen very carefully to try to understand what is being said, and that generates a certain level of intimacy with what you're looking at. So this has to do with the treatment of the sound. It is also related to what you asked me about before. It's about the way in which the characters talk and the way they relate to these beings.
Enviado a Kirlian directamente por los hombres de traje de la capital.
Es usted. ¿Cómo me trajo hasta acá?
Salude a la audiencia, Caín.
Es de alguna manera lo que planteaba John Landis en El Hombre Lobo Americano en Londres.
John Landis of American Werewolf in London said that comedy arises from the reaction of real people to the paranormal.
En este caso, el clima que se establece en Kirlian surge a partir de...
In this case, the climate that is established in Kirlian arises from the real people of Argentina faced with the paranormal. And that also has to do with the sound and dubbing, because it's a very Argentine way of speaking.
Como una manera muy desacartonada o de...
more than what we are accustomed to from American movies or Mexican dubbing, for example.
Que a lo que estamos acostumbrados de películas norteamericanas o que tienen.
It generates a different relationship with the viewer.
Eso genera una relación distinta con el espectador. Y finalmente lo que me decían de la música, bueno.
And in terms of the music, I already work with the musician of the series, Marcelo Catalado, in a previous series that was set in the 80s.
Estaba ambientada en los 80. Habíamos trabajado mucho con sintetizadores.
We have worked with a lot of synthesizers, and since the references of the series rely heavily on 80s pop culture, it was logical to continue working in that style and with this type of instrumentation.
You seem to be following a structure in a lot of the episodes where there's a digression. It's narrative at the beginning, and then it goes to full music for the second and the beginning of the third act, and then comes back to narrative. Why did you choose that format? Is that something that you're going to stick to? Is that on accident, or is that a choice to have a recurring format like that?
Un poco la idea de eso era.
The idea was to preserve the ambiguity.
Hay cosas que se escuchan directamente.
There are things that you can listen to directly, conversations and noises that can be attributed to paranormal phenomena, but can also be everyday things. On the other hand, when the announcer leaves the air and you listen to the music, it's like we go completely into the paranormal, and things that are heard on the air, you can explore if there is the paranormal. By keeping some things hidden behind the music, we can preserve the ambiguity.
Ocultas tras la música, podemos conservar esa ambigüedad. Por eso,
and that is why the idea that there are parts of an interview, the story that is told on the air, and then the found footage that's left to the interpretation of the supposed institute that recovers the Kirlian stories.
Instituto que recopila las historias de Kirlian.
So what is... Walk us through your production process. Like, what is it like to make an episode of Kirlian?
Bueno, arranca, bueno, obviamente con el guión. Yo trabajo
it starts with the script.
Muy
I work very closely with my co-producer, Herman Mengoa, who wrote episode 3.
El episodio 3. Y con ida y vuelta de ideas me ayudó con el resto de los episodios.
After going back and forth with ideas, he helped me with the rest of the episodes.
Se arma un guión técnico después, dividido en planos y animatics.
After the script is written, a technical script is put together, divided into drawings and animatics. And those images that I choose as a director are illustrated by Hernán.
En la imagen, en los episodios. Trabajamos paralelamente, él dibuja,
it's his style that you see in the episodes.
Se hace el doblaje con las voces
we work
de
in parallel. He draws and I do the animation and the direction. The dubbing
sonido.
Is done by the voices of the actors, and then the music and sound are developed.
Episodios.
Without counting the actors, we are four people who do episodes.
Música, Marcelo Cataldo, Hernán Mengoa.
I already mentioned the music creator, Marcelo Cataldo, Hernán Mengoa, and Herman Biasotti is the sound designer and is responsible for making everything sound a little older and broken. It is a process that takes us a long time because we have other jobs. Kirlian is something we enjoy doing. It's a drive that we have. I would not say it's a hobby, but it's something that does not pay us monetarily speaking. So we have to work early in the morning or late at night, and that's why each episode takes between 2 and 3 months.
I'm always interested in the influences. Kind of other stories. You've kind of touched on some of them during this conversation, but if you can name like some of the other films and kinds of stories that you particularly enjoy.
Bueno, definitivamente la dimensión desconocida, Twilight Zone, The X-Files.
Definitely The Twilight Zone, The X-Files, John Carpenter. Those are the most direct references that we pull from when working in Kirlian.
Lo que nos gusta
Erie, Indiana, that kind of things.
En Kirlian, bueno, Erie, Indiana, ese tipo de cosas.
So we found you because we are fans of this specific show. But tell us about the other work. What else is Tangaram Cinema also up to? What other projects are in the works that people should check out?
Nosotros trabajamos este mes de hecho,
it has been a decade since we started working together. Mostly we have worked in web series.
Series web.
We have a series called Un Año Sin Televisión, A Year Without Television, that is subtitled for English-speaking audience. It's a series that is already a little old and has almost 10 years. One of the first productions we made, it's a comedy that we star in. After that, we made several video clips. We have another series called Policompañeros Motorizados, which is kind of a word game. It's a parody of the Bible being used as a deadly weapon, but parody in more than anything the Mexican dubbing and the idioms of the neutral Latino. It tells the story of two policemen at times when they are not having action scenes, but are just sitting patrolling in the car.
De eso hicimos varios episodios. Hicimos una comedia también, un largometraje que se estrena ahora en Argentina.
We did several episodes of that. We also made a comedy, a feature film that is now released in Argentina for the winter holidays called En Busca del Muñeco Perdido, Riders of the Lost Doll, which is a comedy in the style of Top Secret, sort of like a farce.
O spot publicitarios.
We also work on video clips and advertising spots that are perhaps less rewarding artistically, but have allowed us to produce other things.
Producir las otras cosas.
So how do you promote these kind of shows? How do you get them out there and get people to watch them?
Bueno, es muy difícil. En el caso de la
well,
Frecuencia
it is
Kirlian,
very difficult in the case of Frecuencia Kirlian. We had help on the one hand from Ionine. When the first few episodes came out, I contacted them, and Cheryl Eddy, who is one of the editors of the page, always shared the links as they were being released, so that gave us a fairly large English-speaking audience.
Se fueron estrenando los episodios, así que eso nos dio una...
So we started subtitling the episodes, and well,
por eso empezamos a subtitular los episodios.
We put a name in English,
incluso, bueno, le
Ghost
pusimos
Radio.
Un nombre en inglés que es Ghost Radio, que es un poco un chiste también que tiene que ver con las traducciones que tienen las películas norteamericanas al castellano.
And that was a joke poking fun at the
no
translations
directo,
of American
bueno,
films
como,
into
como
Spanish.
Y después, bueno.
We also had the help of the Argentinian YouTube channel Resumo Así Nomás, that has a very faithful audience.
Que es muy divertido, tiene una audiencia muy fiel.
They promoted us in their videos a couple of times, and that also helped us reach a larger audience.
Y eso también nos ayudó a llegar
but
a
in general,
más
we move in Facebook and Instagram
Facebook,
and just word of
Instagram.
Mouth.
Ese tipo de redes sociales y el boca a boca.
People who really like Kirlian are running to tell their friends to see it.
Kirlian va corriendo a contar.
And although we don't have a big audience, it's very faithful and they are very aware of the times when episodes come out.
Por ahora, pero que sí es muy fiel y bueno, están muy pendientes de cuándo salen los nuevos episodios y todo eso.
So we want to finish up with a few. I want to finish up with a few questions just about Kirlian and about the show itself. What parts, there's an episode just for our listeners, so you know there's an episode coming out this month in July, so be on the lookout for that. But what parts of the town or the city have we not seen yet that you are most interested in exploring? What part, because right now the city is still very much a mystery, and what are some cool or interesting parts that we're gonna start to learn more about?
En realidad,
actually, for now, the city is a bit anonymous, so the streets shown could be the streets of any town or city.
Las calles que se muestran
The idea is not to give too much identity to a place so that anyone can identify with Kirlian.
Justamente no darle demasiada identidad.
But in upcoming episodes, a forest in Kirlian will be very important, although in Kirlian there are no forests.
Va a tener mucha importancia.
But just something strange is going to happen in one of them.
No hay bosques. Pero bueno, justamente va a pasar algo extraño.
Also, a video arcade will open in Kirlian, and that will create some problems. And in the city streets, anonymous as they are, strange things will continue to happen there.
Las calles de la ciudad, anónimas como son, bueno, van a seguir pasando cosas extrañas por ahí.
Would you ever consider producing a live episode or having live events around Kirlian? A lot of other, you know, I'm thinking of the podcast Welcome to Night Vale, for instance. They have made they've had huge luck or they've had a lot of success doing live shows. Would you ever think about doing something like that?
En realidad tenemos un problema.
Actually, we have a problem in this regard. The actor who plays the narrator now lives in Spain, so a live show would be geographically complicated. We have thought of making a live action episode, a combination between two aesthetics. We have done live screenings and talks in our city and in Buenos Aires. That helped connect with the audience of the series, but not something like Night Vale. We would love to do something like that someday if distance wasn't an issue.
Al estilo de Night Vale, que nos encantaría, pero bueno, ya como te digo, tenemos este problema de distancia con nuestro actor, así que bueno.
Logistics. Logistics are hard to overcome sometimes. You don't have to tell us. He's over in Las Vegas and I'm here in Miami, 3,000 miles away. So, look, if you are into moody horror, something very brooding, spacey tonal thrillers, if you're into Lovecraft, if you're into Tim Burton, Twin Peaks, like I said before, Welcome to Night Vale, old school MTV cartoons, Liquid Television, you got to be watching Frecuencia Kirlian. You can see it on Vimeo, on YouTube. Also, be sure to check out Tangram at tangramcine.com, tangramcine.com. And when you watch it, like I said before, do it in the dark. Do it in a quiet room with some very good headphones on. Christian, thank you for joining us.
Muchas gracias a ustedes por la invitación.
Awesome. Dave, what's been your favorite movie this year so far? And then we'll get into a few more of the ones that you think are worthy of standing out.
Sure.
Let me, you know what? Fuck that. Let me do it a different way.
Okay.
Is this a good year for movies so far or no?
The answer to that would be no. It's not a terrible year for movies, but the last 2 years, I would say 2017, 2016 were two of my favorite years of movies in the last 10, 15 years. So this year, comparatively, not so great. But there have been some really good ones. What was my favorite movie of this year? Okay, there's a movie that was tailor-made for me, and I have to pick it as my favorite movie of the year, and that is Isle of Dogs, the Wes Anderson movie.
Wes Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. It's a stop-motion animated movie about dogs on a secluded island that they've been quarantined to, and then a little boy from mainland Japan comes looking for his dog, and the dogs try to help him, but they don't actually understand each other because they don't speak his language. They all speak English, and it's totally Wes Anderson. It's ridiculous. It's really funny. It's probably one of his funniest movies, and it's total Wes Anderson. If you don't like him, it's not going to win you over, but if you do like his movies, it's a really, really good one.
What else has stood out this year? What is this year, if you had to characterize it? Is this a blockbuster year? Is this a superhero year? I mean, like, what is this the year of in terms of movies?
Well, okay, so my second favorite movie, I'm just gonna jump into real
Didn't
quick
ask
first.
That. Didn't ask that.
I know, but I wanna bring it up.
The kind of movie year right. that we're
I wanna bring it up first. Okay. It's called First Reformed. and we did cover it on Piecing It Together. We also covered Isle of Dogs. But First Reformed, it's a really heavy movie. It's with Ethan Hawke. It's written and directed by Paul Schrader. It's kind of a spiritual sequel to Taxi Driver in a way. But this one is about a priest that is kind of unraveling because of trying to decide whether or not to go the way of God or go the way the church wants him to. And the church is one of these mega churches that's, you know, clearly a business. And it's just phenomenal. But aside from that, I would say this is a blockbuster year. And that's why I wanted to bring that up first, because a lot of the other movies that I've loved this year have been Marvel movies. They've been Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One, Rampage, which was totally ridiculous, but so much fun. What else? The Hurricane Heist, which is like a really great B movie.
Which I had the idea for. I had that idea. I had that idea, and I'm pretty sure I pitched it to you in like 2003. But mine was more of a Ocean's 11 style, like more subdued and quiet. And it was more that these guys were doing, you know, clever tricks. It wasn't action. It was more of a clever sort of thoughtful heist movie.
But still during a hurricane, though.
But still during a hurricane, right? Uh-huh. That was the backdrop. almost like Ocean's 11 meets Snake Eyes for those five people out there that ever saw the movie Snake Eyes.
Nice.
I get the feeling, though, this was an action movie, right? And this was also a movie that, like, there wasn't a lot of elevation. In my mind, I think of a heist movie as being a movie that has some sort of a twist, or they let you in on something later, and then you find out that your guys who you're rooting for actually had something else brewing the whole time. I mean, this seems like more of a straightforward.
This is nonsense. This movie. They actually just did it on How Did This Get Made, which made me very happy. But it was so much fun. It's the kind of movie that Nicolas Cage would have made in like the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, if that'll give you a pretty good idea of what it's like.
All right. So let's move to like a little bit more thoughtful fare, though. You mentioned one sort of lesser known non-blockbuster. Right,
First Reformed.
What else in that vein, if for adults in the room, what else would be worthy of if maybe going out and catching it now while it's still in the theater, or getting it that first week where it's out on demand?
Yeah, I think this one just came out this week on demand, is You Were Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix, directed by Lynn Ramsey. And this we actually covered on the same episode as First Reformed, because they both fit together so well. They both feel like modern day updates to the Taxi Driver formula of a man who is basically falling apart. And this one is just like a crazy tour de force Joaquin Phoenix performance. You know, he's a hitman. He's trying to save a little girl from prostitution. And so you could tell there's like a lot of parallels to Taxi Driver. But it's just him being Joaquin Phoenix, and it's fantastic. And it's incredibly dark, and it's also a really beautiful movie. It looks amazing. But that's a good one. Another one that's had a lot of buzz, which is more of an art movie, but of course, A24, because it's horror, they put it out as more of a big movie, but that's Hereditary. Which is, it's a performance piece. It is it's more of a drama than it is a horror movie, which is why a lot of people go in and end up like, what the fuck is this? Kind of like they were about Mother. I wouldn't say this is nearly as good as Mother, but it was still very good.
The bait and switch of Mother. This is like as twisted as it is, or as sort of outside of the box as it is, this is still a horror genre movie. This isn't just some, existential, or this isn't like an experimental movie that just got marketed as a horror
I would
movie,
say I think, in some right? ways it is a little bit of a bait and switch, because aside from some disturbing stuff that happens, it is pretty much a family drama for the first three quarters of the movie. It only really goes into full-blown horror towards the end. So I'm sure, you know, for the average person going into the movie theater, it doesn't know much about movies or whatever. They probably are like, what the hell is happening? I thought I was walking into The Conjuring, and, you know, this is like a depressing drama about a family dealing with grief, you know? So yeah, that, That is that. What's another one? Tully was really good. That is from Diablo Cody, who did Juno and Young Adult. It stars Charlize Theron as a woman dealing with postpartum depression, and she gets a night nanny. And I don't want to give too much away about it, but she's excellent in it. And it's probably, I would say, Diablo Cody's best movie, I think. I thought it was better than Juno. But like I said, it seems like Marvel was the big thing this year. The Marvel movies that came out this year were so
good. And you just
good.
Saw Ant-Man, right?
I just saw Ant-Man two nights ago, and I loved it. Yeah, I actually just squeezed it into number three on my list, even though I had made my list a week ago. Yeah, I loved Ant-Man. I loved Black Panther. I loved Avengers. And you know I'm not a big Marvel guy.
No, to this point in this year, this had been like the big disconnect in cultural conversations with me and you talking about, you know, popular entertainment. I really honestly, being a grown up comic book guy, even though there's lots of problems with this whole monolithic Marvel universe, it's still, having been a comic book guy, like, this is still the stuff that, now that my time is at such a fucking premium, mm-hmm. it's still the stuff that I consume. I don't have time, really. And it's really Real Housewives for me. It's just a guilty pleasure to disconnect my brain.
Sure.
And like, and it's something that I like, and that harkens back to an existing universe from a much simpler and more innocent time for me. Dave, why don't we do this? Why don't I read you down a few movies and you designate them, see it or skip it, and sure. one or two lines about why. Okay. Annihilation,
I'm going to say see it, even though I didn't love it. But it is still, it's a very ballsy movie. It's a very interesting movie, and it's got a lot going for it, even though I didn't love it.
Blockers
was surprisingly fun. Comedy has really been taking a hit lately. There's not a lot of good comedies. So with that bar set pretty low, Blockers was actually a lot of fun and definitely made me laugh a lot.
The underrated Ike Barinholtz, one of my favorite comedians, is in that movie.
Yeah, he's good.
Not sure if you saw this one. If you didn't see one, just say skip it or whatever. Sure. Well, I'll just cut it out. But Chappaquiddick.
I wanted to see Chappaquiddick. It didn't. It only opened here for like a week, and I didn't get to see it.
Leave No Trace.
I really want to see. That hasn't opened yet, but I think it opens next week. I think it just came out in a limited release last week. But yeah, it's the same director as Winter's Bone, and Ben Foster's in it. It looks really good.
Oh, I loved Winter's Bone. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Love After Love. I haven't heard of this one.
I haven't heard of this either. Okay. Yeah, no.
Loveless,
I've heard really good things about. The director of Leviathan. But this has not opened here yet.
Now, this one I really am curious about. Don't know if you've seen it, but I did see that this is the only movie in history to go all the way through its theatrical run with a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Paddington 2.
So I think we had a conversation about this a while back when it came out in January. I have not seen it. I have not seen the first one. I don't remember. I have like a mental block or something. I don't remember Paddington being a character.
You don't?
No, I have no idea. I don't know what Paddington is.
Resonance. That was a Nickelodeon show that was, I think, it acquired from the BBC or maybe licensed from the BBC.
Yeah, I don't know what Paddington is. And when these movies came out, all of my like real film nerd critic friends, they love it, and really? I have no frame of reference for this movie.
Well, I'm going to show it to my daughter. I'll let you know what I think. So this next one is one that I'm debating watching tonight because it's made by one of my favorite writers, Armando Iannucci. The Death of Stalin.
Yeah, another movie that it only opened here for 1 week and I didn't get to see it. I was actually, when I first started piecing it together, I had made a list of movies to maybe cover, and I wanted to have you on for this movie. But then I never got to see it because it was only for the one.
Well, I exposed you to Armando Iannucci because I went to to your house one of the times that I visited Vegas, and we watched In the Loop.
In the Loop, yeah.
Yeah. The Final Year. I have not heard of this one.
The Final
Year. Oh, I do know what this one is. Never mind. The Final Year is sort of an examination. You probably haven't seen this. This is a documentary that examines the last year of the Obama administration.
I haven't seen any documentaries.
Focusing on some of the, I guess it takes a hard look at the role that foreign relations and diplomacy played in the last year. They focus on UN Ambassador Samantha Power, NSA Deputy Ben Rhodes, and John Kerry during his last year as Secretary of State. So I guess it's sort of, you know, with the 2020 hindsight, it's looking back and there's just a specter of failure, I would imagine, over the course of that, because we really kind of that administration really kind of limped to the finish line, obviously punctuated by losing power in that party. The Democrats obviously lost the White House in 2016. I would assume you know that if you're listening to this podcast. Interested in hearing your take on a movie that I don't think we've talked about, A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place we did on Piecing It Together, and I liked a lot. I didn't love it, but I kind of feel like I was kind of hard on it, possibly because of all of the crazy raves that it got and everything, because it was really good. And it's an amazing thing that they were able to pull off by making a movie that actually got the audience to just be quiet the whole fucking time. It really worked. And I'm curious, though, and I actually just got it. I was able to get a really good deal on it. And I got it. I'm interested to watch it at home and see if it still has the same effect, if it still is good without the whole trick of being in a quiet theater.
So the next movie is Upgrade.
Upgrade,
which looks kind of like a cheap version of Her or something like that.
No. Upgrade is – okay, so what Upgrade is actually kind of funny. It is not Venom, starring not Tom Hardy. It's what it is. It's the same idea as Venom, is that there's this voice inside of his head telling him everything to do. And it's basically a guy that looks just like Tom Hardy who's going to be playing Venom. And it's just a really great, dirty, overly violent sci-fi thriller with a lot of really cool, for such a low budget, because it's a pretty low budget movie. It's got a lot of smart ideas of sci-fi, which I guess you get your Her influence there. But a lot of great ideas of what sci-fi is going to be like, or what the future is going to be like, and what computers and technology are going to be like pretty soon in the future. It's a great movie. I'm trying to get an episode done on it soon.
How about a revenge flick called Revenge?
Revenge did not open here, and I've heard it's freaking great. I really want to see it.
All right. So last one, okay, which I think only came out on streaming, the documentary about Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor. Did you see that?
Okay, now I'm going to start sounding like a psychopath because just like I don't know who Paddington is, I know who Mr. Rogers is. I don't remember ever watching an episode of Mr. That's Rogers.
Crazy. That's insane.
It looks really good as far as documentaries go, but I have no connection to Mr. Rogers whatsoever.
That's insane. That you. I don't.
I know. That's right. I recognize that one is really strange.
That's a really weird one. I could see Paddington was a bit more obscure and also from across the ocean.
I must have watched some Mr. Rogers, but I don't remember it at all. I just know him as this character in popular culture.
That's crazy. What are we looking forward to for the rest of the year, Dave? I will say that I realize that everybody's been kind of making fun of it a lot. I would like to go see Venom.
I hope Venom's good. It could very well be great. It's hard to say, though.
Do we know through, do we know via the various machinations that are happening with the studio acquisitions and stuff like that, if it'll end up that Venom is part of Marvel or if it will just always be separate from Marvel?
I believe it's going to be a separate thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I suppose it's possible that they'll tie it in, but I think at this point it's definitely going to, at least this version is going to be a separate thing.
Okay. The other movie I'm looking forward to is a Nicolas Cage vehicle called Mandy. Yes. What do you know about Mandy, which looks fucking amazing?
I know that it's just going to be completely insane. That's all. That's all I can really say. It looks totally bananas. I can't wait.
And then one that we talked about recently on this show actually is the Lakeith Stanfield movie that's coming out pretty soon. It's already out, I think, in select cities. Not in Miami, unfortunately. Not in Vegas either. But sorry to bother you. Tell us about that movie.
Yeah, sorry to bother you. It looks great. We're going to, hopefully me and you will do it on piecing it together. And
yeah, fucking wait. You think it'll be out in Philly in the 23rd when we're there?
I was thinking about that. I'm sure it will be. I mean, if we have time, maybe.
We could go and then like come back to the hotel and just do like a out of the... Yeah. Just crank one out.
That would be fun. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. It looks really great. It looks really weird. Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. It should be out in the next week or two.
What else is coming out this year? What's the second half movie? This is Oscar time, right? From like September through November is the Oscar movies, right?
Well, we still have a few more like big summer type movies. We've got Mission Impossible Fallout, which looks amazing.
Oh, Mission Impossible Superman.
Yes, Mission Impossible Superman. It looks awesome.
I saw the commercial for it.
Yeah, what else we got?
They gotta stop doing that. They gotta stop using that guy at some point. He looks really bad now.
Oh, are you kidding me? He can do it.
Tom Cruise looks like his face looks like a potato now. I don't know what they did for him in that American Made movie, but he looks like he's dying of a disease.
He looks great in the trailer.
Where your face eats your own face.
It looks great in the trailer. That's all I can tell you. What else we got? We got The Meg, which is a giant shark movie, which should be fun.
That looks so stupid.
I can't wait. We've got Peppermint, which looks like a lot of fun. That's Jennifer Garner's version of John Wick. That should be great. We also have The Predator, which has a really bad trailer, but it is written and directed by Shane Black, whose last movie was The Nice Guys, which is probably my favorite movie of the last however many years.
The Nice
years.
Guys was incredible. Was the best comedy I've seen.
So
like
good.
Caper comedy that I've seen in like forever and forever.
So I don't care that it's a bad trailer. Maybe it's just a hard to sell movie. I don't know. I can't wait for it no matter what. Aside from that, let's see. So yeah, then we start getting into some of the more like awardsy type things. There's First Man, which is about Neil Armstrong with Ryan Gosling. It's the director of Whiplash and also La La Land. That looks really, really good. Serenity with Matthew McConaughey looks like it's going to be like a weird head trip of a movie. The Halloween sequel remake type thing from Jody Hill and what's his name?
Oh wow, Jody Hill's doing a Halloween movie?
Yeah, Eastbound and Down.
Wow.
Why am I drawing a blank on his name? You know,
Adam McKay?
No, the main guy.
Oh, Danny McBride.
Danny McBride, yeah. Yeah, him and Jody Hill wrote it and directed it. It looks phenomenal. It looks like the best horror movie in like forever. What else is coming out? So many movies are coming out. I just said Serenity. Under the Silver Lake, which I'm really looking forward to. And that's with Andrew Garfield, and it's written and directed by the guy who did It Follows. It looks kind of like a Big Lebowski kind of movie. Like that, just like crazy, just all over the place. Almost like comedy noir style movie. It looks really good. And there's a bunch more coming out, but off the top of my head, that's all I could think of.
Okay. Let me pose a question to you. With movies, because I've become more of a TV guy since I've become a dad, and sure. You know, I think that happens a lot of times. Movies are just kind of hard to pull off, you know.
Oh, Creed 2.
Creed 2. Oh god.
Yes.
I still haven't seen Creed 1.
Oh, so. Creed is fucking great. Kidding me?
So okay, I brought up Adam McKay a second ago because I was guessing at who you were trying to talk about, and sure. You know, he's great, you know, and a really great creative force. And I've been noodling over this question lately, whether or not you think that movies might be suffering, like the overall body of quality of movies in a given year might be suffering because, and I bring up Adam McKay just as an example, because like, he's not doing movies now. He's got a really successful show going on HBO called Succession that I've seen a couple episodes of, and it's pretty good. Actually, it's very good. It's a very good show. Mm-hmm. And do you think there's attrition from the ranks of movie content creators, people like him, to television, since television in the last 10 years has become so not just legitimized, but like an art form that's on par with movies now, whereas movies were clearly the superior art form 10 years ago. Do you think that maybe movies are suffering from losing talent? I mean, I think of like, I mean, a show, there's this, damn, I'm trying to think of like that, the other HBO show that's, how about this? Big Little Lies, right? Though, right. That's like four or five enormous movie stars who are locked up for the next few years doing that show. They're not going to be in movies, right? Those are, you know, in some cases, Academy Award winning talent that won't be doing movies because they're going to be doing that TV show.
And actually, the creator of Big Little Lies has a new show coming out this weekend starring Amy Adams. So that's another huge star.
A star like Amy Adams, you'd never find her on TV 10 years ago.
Sure. Absolutely. Right. No, I think it's definitely a good point and something that I've talked about before as well. I don't know if they're going to spread themselves too thin or if they're just simply going to abandon one for the other. But yeah, it does seem like a lot of the major stars and creative forces behind movies are starting to go to TV. I don't like that, you know, as a movie guy. Also, it's like, you know, when I'm home, I'm usually doing something. Whereas when I go to the movie, I shut out everything else and I'm
your undivided attention.
Yeah. And so it's hard to get into a lot of TV shows and TV movies and stuff like that. We just finally caught up on Waco like a week ago, which was great. But that miniseries came out, what, like 6 months ago or something? And we just finally got to watch it. And while I was watching it, we were partially on our phones and playing with the dogs and getting up to the bathroom.
There's not a lot of those shows anymore that just kind of grab you and sit you down and force you to watch them. My wife and I are watching a show right now called Killing Eve, which is on BBC. And that's a show that you feel like if you look away from it for 2 seconds, like you might as well start the whole episode over again. It's enrapturing. And that's incredible. But this isn't a bit about TV. I just was wondering what you thought about, you know, the general. And since you said that at the beginning, you're like, you know, movies, not a great year for movies.
No,
I'm not sure if last year was a great year for movies either.
Oh, last year was so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I loved last year. Like, you know, I saw 96 movies in the theater last year.
Obscene.
I loved, I think it was like the top 32 or something. I loved, and I, you know what? Seriously, I was going back because I keep in a Google Doc. I keep my lists from each year. I have years from the last 10 years where I didn't love the top four. You know what I mean? I just liked after that point, you know, to a certain number. Yeah,
there
I love the top
where
four.
Like you get sold as a. I mean, you like the consumer at large get sold that there are, you know, A, B, C, and D are good movies, and you look back with the benefit of hindsight and you realize that they weren't really that good. Oh, the year where the movie, the black and white movie about the dog won, like
that that's a weird one. That's a bizarre movie that like nobody remembers and nobody really liked it. Nobody liked it when it came out. It was a weird movie. Yeah.
So weird. I mean, I haven't rewatched Moonlight. Mostly because I'm worried that I think it might not hold up, because it's been like maybe 2 years since I watched it. Mm-hmm. And I think it might not be good anymore. which would really hurt, because that it hits a lot of like it's just a great movie. It hits a lot of like good notes for me. And and also like they're local guys and they made good, you know.
Yeah.
And Miami guys, and you don't see a lot of people take nuanced, interesting.
Actually,
takes
I think he's doing a TV show now too, Barry Jenkins. Yeah.
All right, Dave. What do we got for Love Hate? Why don't you start us off?
What do we got for Love Hate? Well, my love for this week is actually related to piecing it together. Sorry to keep bringing it up, but I actually am a part of this Two Pods a Day promotion. It's hashtag Two Pods a Day. And what they do is you have to review two podcasts, and all these other podcasts each have to review two podcasts. And they all end up on a list, and they kind of mix it up and then put it out all through the month of July, sharing the all the reviews that each other did for each other. And so, yeah, but my day was just a couple days ago. Got a lot of great feedback because of it. My download numbers really went up quite a bit. And so, yeah, it was awesome. I was really happy that they included me in it.
Good work. Mm-hmm. I'll be waiting for the check. All right. My love was, you know, we haven't talked any politics or news in this episode, which is good. It's good to cleanse the palate a little bit sometimes, but I am glad. Not just that the like single most toxically overtly corrupt, but in like a cartoonish way, member of the Trump administration finally left, or finally resigned. Scott Pruitt, EPA administrator. Not just that, but the fact that he did it and probably didn't have to. I mean, I just don't know, other than just pure shame and just the prospect of being called out in public when you're eating at whatever shitty Washington, D.C. Eatery that you go and wolf down whatever fucking off-brand garbage they serve in D.C. because it's like one of the worst culinary towns in the country. Like, other than that, other than public shaming, I don't know really what you have to fear if you're a member of the Trump team. Like nothing's going to happen to you. You can just continue to do whatever crazy, over-the-top, like 1980s sitcom, you know, caper you want to pull. There's no accountability. So good for him. You know, I'm glad he quit. I'm glad he was too much of a pussy to deal with the fallout from all of his overt corruption. I did like, though, that the crew, which is the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, released a statement, and Dateline was Washington. Following the news of scandal-ridden EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt's resignation, I'm reading here from their press release. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Executive Director Noah Bookbinder, released the following statement. Good. And that was it. That was the end of the statement. So, nice. Yeah. An accurate take.
Sure.
How about your hate? What do you hate?
What do I hate?
What you hating on?
Well, my hate of the week is we have a camping trip scheduled for this week, and apparently there's campfire restrictions within 6 hours of Las Vegas. In any given direction, there can be no campfires anywhere. So that sucks. I don't know what's going to happen to our trip. We might have to cancel the whole thing.
Drive 7 hours. What's 7 hours away?
Well, we didn't look 7 hours away, but I mean, at a certain point, you're kind of driving the whole fucking time. So, you know, that sucks. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. We might come up with some alternative plan. We got to figure something out by tomorrow, because if we're not going anywhere, we got to cancel our dog boarding. But yeah, I don't know. It sucks. Mother Nature. So Mother Nature's mean.
You sent this to me, my hate.
Okay.
And it's from the Las Vegas Sun. Headline is, need a shopping break? Las Vegas Mall has a place to nap. And it's an article by reporter Leslie Ventura. We've all been there. You're stranded at the mall with a friend or a family member. Your feet are tired and your body hurts. If only you had somewhere to nap. At the Fashion Show Mall, now you do. The mall is one of two locations in the world with napping pods. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Actually, you know what? Don't give a fuck if I'm pronouncing it right. A futuristic vending machine for people who need a break. Co-founder Alex Salomon originally came up with the idea for napin pods, designed and manufactured in Los Angeles to help exhausted travelers recharge. Mall pods are located on the first floor near the guest services desk in front of me. I'm not gonna give them a fucking commercial. Sorry. You know what? They're located on the top floor of the garage. How about that? That's where they are. So if you're in Vegas and you're looking for the napping pods, go to the top floor of the garage. And if you don't see them, then take your credit card, stand on the ledge, and jump off.
Can you imagine the audacity of thinking that these people need a nice, cool, relaxing place to take a nap while they're shopping?
If you've ever walked through the Fashion Show Mall and seen the absolute fucking dregs of humanity wearing the most ostentatious, over-the-top fucking... Vegas is probably... I think there is a metric that is, I don't know what organization or nonprofit comes out with this every year, but it's, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's the cruelest cities for homeless people, right? Yeah. It's the worst places for them to live, And during my time that I lived in Vegas, and I can't imagine it's gotten any better, Vegas was routinely at the top of that list. It was routinely one of, some of it has to do with obviously the natural, you know, just the topography. It's a desert.
Yeah.
It's Death Valley. It's the Vegas Valley, but it's no different really than Death Valley. It is
hot and it's terribly, there's no shade except for
humans weren't meant to live there. No, of course. If you ever drive into like past downtown Vegas, there's like an old Mormon fort from the very first settlers who settled in the Vegas Valley in the 1800s. And, you know, they built that fort in the matter of like a winter. And then when summer came, nobody knows what happened to them. You know why? Because they just melted. They all melted into the ground. And then a bunch of other people showed up and were like, oh, what's up with this fort? Why is it sitting here completely abandoned? And what are these little puddles of goo? It's obscenely hot.
Mormon goo.
Vegas, in its infinite libertarian wisdom, treats homeless people like absolute fucking garbage, and it's one of the worst, most inhumane cities on the planet.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for like a few groups of kind people that go out and do outreach on their own,
shout out to our buddy Mark Saint.
Yeah, Mark Saint, who's out there with the homeless people. T-shirts. What's the name of his company, Dave? T-shirts by Saint. Saints Addiction T-shirts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And check him out. I know he's got a store. I don't remember what part of town it's in. But people like Mark who are out there actually help. If it weren't for like a few groups like that, you know, I think also Jason Harris, right? Hasn't he helped out homeless people too?
Absolutely.
Friend of the podcast, Jason Harris. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for like a ragtag, loose knit group of people like that, it would be just absolutely unbearable and brutal to be homeless in Vegas, and there's no recourse for a lot of these people. And Vegas is a city that it's very easy to find yourself in that situation. And you're telling me that the fucking tacky, garbage, gaudy monstrosity of shiny, filthy shit on the Strip, the fucking Las Vegas Fashion Show Mall, one of the like ground zero for everything that went wrong with capitalism, is also adding these pay to nap fucking pods. It's just disgusting. It's fucking unconscionable, dude. I just wish that it would burn down. God damn. I really hope it doesn't, because now I'm saying this and I'm probably going to publish it tomorrow and people will hear, but like, and they'll be like, oh, well, this guy probably did it. He probably paid somebody to do it from Miami. But yeah, dude, this is ridiculous. This is an affront to like humanity. I realize that it's a small thing to get pissed about, but it's stupid. It's so stupid. These are people who are just, they're carrying around enough water in their fucking necks to give like to feed homeless people for a year. Like they have enough like carbohydrates in the fucking goiters hanging off of their asses that they could probably feed people for a year.
It's funny too, because I value comfort so much and I am so lazy, but even the idea of this, I'm just like, that is just terrible. Like you don't fucking need this. You fucking, these people.
No, but you know, I love the logic tree that you go down when you're like, okay, hey, you know, you take the idealistic, naive position that somebody like me would have. And it's like, hey, well, we have this technology, right? Why don't we make it available? Why don't we drop 200 napping pods along Maryland Parkway,
right,
and along,
right,
you know, Alphabet City? And you know, why don't we do that? Oh, well, where's the profit margin? And it's like, okay, because for it to be viable, there has to be a profit margin and there has to be a business model. Otherwise, there's just no reason to do it. How much can these pieces of shit napping pods possibly cost? But 10 grand, 15 grand? I mean, how much do we spend on, you know, the fucking, on a daily basis, how much do we shovel into Northrop Grumman for the F-35 plane that still has never fucking gotten off the ground? That's like $1.8 trillion later, we still haven't been able to do that. And I realize we're talking about different things and apples and oranges and defense budgets versus local municipal budgets. And I know that, man. All I'm doing is making like a meta commentary about our priorities as people, just generally. I'm not trying to say that somehow we should apportion these lavish contracts, apportion some of these lavish contracts that we dump on these ridiculous defense contractors into, you know, helping human beings survive and live. You know, heaven forbid. All I'm trying to do is make a fucking point.
I'm just glad we were able to somehow get some just really depressing news into this episode where we were not.
That's not even that bad. That's just stupid. That news is just stupid. We'll be back to the depressing stuff next week. I think, though, based on the guests that we have lined up, the depressing stuff might actually be a little bit more fun than usual. I think we might be able to have a little bit of fan fiction for fans of this show, like people who envision the, like I said before, the priorities of this country and of this world and of humanity a little differently than the way they're being lived out. We might have something good for you next week. I don't want to tip our hands too much, but I think we got a pretty good episode coming up.
All right. Well, very special thank you to our guest.
I'm trying to give you something to do.
God damn it, man. Very special thank you to our guest, Kristen Ponce from 10 Gram Cinema.
Ponce. It's actually Ponce.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, if there was a tilde over the E, it would be Ponce. But
I thought you just couldn't get the tilde in there.
I can get the tilde in there, Dave.
All right. How about I just tell you guys to just subscribe, rate, and review
on my name. You think I don't know how to put a tilde over an E? I have an Enye in my name.
I always assume that people don't know how to do things that I don't know how to do.
That's a fair assumption.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to Bird Road. You can subscribe to us on any podcast app out there. Huh?
Eloquent as always. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, to...
I said subscribe, rate, and review. What do you want from me?
It just didn't sound right. Something came off wrong about it. It sounded like you were just... Like,
what did I do?
It just sounded like all those words were clutter in your living room, like dog bones and like shit like that, and you were trying to climb over them.
It's like I left one letter out of each word. I think I did quite well. Also subscribe, rate, and review to Entre Dos and Piecing It Together. You can find those shows anywhere you find Bird Road. And don't
breaking
forget,
through,
we'll be at
and
Breaking Through as well. And yep, don't forget, we'll be at the Podcast Movement in Philadelphia, July 23rd through 26th. And we'll be doing a meetup for political podcasters or just anybody who wants to come meet up with us on July 24th. You can get information about that on the Podcast Movement website or on our Facebook, which Q doesn't want you to go to. But it's
don't there. Go. Don't go there. Again, what Dave was trying to sputter his way through, mispronouncing the name left and right. Very special thank you to our guest, Christian Ponce from Tangram Cinema, Frecuencia Killian, Ghost Radio, as it's called in English. Check them out, tangramcine.com. Also, you can check out that show on YouTube or on Vimeo. See you next week.
This is Bird Road.
Shut up. Try to fucking come in with something at the end. Like you've been thinking on shit all week.